Good morning and welcome to our service as we follow Jesus' footsteps and his passion. May we honor him in our worship. We begin with a prayer. Almighty God, your Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption. Grant us courage to take up our cross daily and follow him wherever he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our opening hymn is Lamb of God, Pure and Holy. Please stand. Our worship liturgy continues on the bottom of page 2 of the bulletin. And we conduct this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We join to make confession of our sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, I have strayed from your path like a lost sheep. Out of my heart have come evil thoughts, emotions, and desires. I have offended against your holy law of love in my words and actions. I am truly sorry for all my offenses of thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on me and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Restore me and revive my spirits according to the promise you have declared to me in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my heart with your love, that I may lead a godly and righteous life to the glory of your name. Lift up your hearts in peace and with joy. The Lord God, according to his promise, is slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. By the command and in the stead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you graciously to cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
We continue the Passion History of our Lord Jesus Christ, Part 5, The Humble King. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Then the soldiers of the governor led Jesus away to the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together and gathered round him the whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it. They struck him with their hands, and when they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know I find no fault in him." And Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid. He went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you, the power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, about 6 a.m. Roman time. And they said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off him, put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him. And he, bearing his cross, went out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called Calvary, in Hebrew, Golgotha, which is the place of a skull. And when they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. He did not take it.
Please stand. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation to it. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he has risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? Thank you. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider for our meditation this morning is taken from Isaiah's Passion History, found in chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He, that is Jesus, was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed on the cross for our salvation, your fellow redeemed. There was a man from Ethiopia returning home from Jerusalem. And on his way, he was reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He was reading the very same verses that we are going to be considering this morning. Now, the Holy Spirit came to the evangelist Philip to try to help the Ethiopian understand what he was reading, because he didn't know who the prophet was referring to and what all this meant. With this invitation, Philip shared with the Ethiopian the good news of salvation, explaining to him that Isaiah was pointing to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. Through these words, the prophet revealed Jesus as a submissive Savior, picturing Jesus as a sheep led to the slaughter without complaint and as a silent lamb before its shears. Isaiah prophetically testified of Jesus willingly allowing himself to suffer terribly, allowing himself to be captured, falsely accused, ridiculed, beaten, condemned to die, and then executed by crucifixion. All this Jesus willingly submitted to in order that he might be offered up on the cross, atonement for all our many sins. As the Holy Spirit opened the Ethiopian's eyes to see and his heart to believe that this Jesus was indeed the Lamb of God who came to lay down his life for his forgiveness and salvation, this Ethiopian rejoiced with great joy and gladness. He rejoiced and was thankful to God for Jesus' willingness to suffer so much for him, so that he could receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal salvation. Throughout the passion history of Jesus, our Lord can be seen again and again as our submissive Savior. Beginning at the Mount of Olives, there was a mob of men coming out with clubs and swords to lay hold of Jesus as if he was some kind of a criminal. And as Jesus saw them approaching, he knew whom they were coming for. He knew what lay ahead of him in the coming hours. And even though he knew all this, he didn't run away. He didn't try to hide. And he didn't hide the fact that he was the one they were looking for. Jesus was a submissive Savior. Now, when that mob laid hold of Jesus and bound him, his fellow disciples, they rose up to defend him from their captors, and Jesus prevented them. Even though Jesus could have summoned 12 legions of angels to prevent his arrest, he chose not to do so. He allowed himself to be taken prisoner, to be tied up like some dangerous criminal, and led away captive. Jesus willingly submitted himself to this mistreatment so that the scriptures might be fulfilled that said the promised Savior would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. From this time forward, Isaiah revealed that and foretold that Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted. It was late in the evening when Jesus was led bound before the Jewish Sanhedrin to stand trial before the Jews. That same night, false witnesses had been rounded up to level accusations against Jesus, to find some fault with him. And two false witnesses said of Jesus, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" These perjurers misrepresented Jesus. Jesus was not talking about having the temple destroyed. He was talking about his coming death and his resurrection. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. Later in the trial, the Jewish court accused Jesus of blasphemy for claiming to be the eternal Son of God and worthy of death. Jesus' reaction to this charge again was silence and total submission. Even though gross injustices were being perpetrated in this mock trial, Jesus still did not cry out in protest. Instead, as a lamb, as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. After Jesus was condemned to die, the gospel according to Mark reports, "Then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the officers struck him with the palm of their hands." No person, let alone Jesus, is deserving of such degrading and cruel mistreatment. And yet, Jesus allowed himself to be shamefully and cruelly treated, bearing it patiently and without complaint. Jesus looked upon such treatment as part of his sin load that he was called upon to patiently bear for us and for all the world. Early the next morning, Jesus was led bound to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate to stand trial in a civil court of law, whereupon the Jews leveled the following charges against Jesus. "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King." With these words, Jesus' enemies were accusing him of being subversive of the Jews and also of the Romans government. Looking to the gospel record, we learn that instead of Jesus perverting the Jews, he was trying to help them spiritually and physically. Neither did Jesus try to get the Jews to rise up and revolt against the Roman government. Rather, he encouraged them to honor and show respect and obedience to the laws of the land. After Pilate heard the charges brought against Jesus, he asked him, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Any other person being falsely accused would vigorously protest, try to defend himself. But Jesus willingly allowed himself to be charged and said, sentenced to death, so that he could bear the sins of the world in our place and suffer the punishment for them. When Pilate heard Jesus was from Galilee, he thought he had his way out. He could get out from under this bad situation of having to sentence an innocent man to death. And since Jesus was a Galilean, he came under the jurisdiction of King Herod, who was in town. And so Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, who was then going to try Jesus. This is what transpired in that hearing. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Jesus was afflicted and oppressed, yet he opened not his mouth. When Jesus was back in the hands of Pilate, Pilate sought to gain sympathy with the Jews. He decided he's going to flog Jesus, thinking that they would have pity on Jesus and just say, release him, he suffered enough. And it really went into great detail, the great physical suffering that Jesus went through. And I tell you, this was enough to bring a person to tears to see it. But that was just a movie and not the real thing. While in the custody of the Roman soldiers, Jesus also allowed himself to be subjected to the following degrading and cruel mistreatment. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. With Jesus being true God, he deserved to be shown honor, respect, and praise by all people. And yet he permitted himself to be debased and humiliated. He willingly suffered all this so that through his great humiliation, we might be exalted on high and glorified in heaven with Jesus. The road of suffering for Jesus finally led to Golgotha, where he was nailed to the accursed tree to suffer and die. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As Jesus walked that lonely road, which led to a place where he would empty the cup of suffering, he approached it with willing, submissive spirit. While Jesus was extended on the cross, the verbal abuse and the ridicule by his enemies continued. Every time his enemies mocked and taunted him, not once did Jesus have an unkind thought or an angry response to his enemies for all that they were doing to him. The Apostle Peter testifies of Jesus' reaction to this abuse. When he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Instead of retaliating and threatening revenge, Jesus could be heard praying for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The oppression and the affliction that Jesus endured didn't only come at the hands of his enemies, the Jews, but it came at the hands of his own Father, the Heavenly Father. And this kind of oppression and affliction was far worse beyond our human imagination. For after this, God placed on Jesus the heavy load of the guilt of all the sins of the world for all time, and then God the Father visited his Son with a hellish punishment for all our transgressions. If an uninformed bystander would be observing all that Jesus was going through, they would have thought that Jesus was one of the worst criminals, that was a great threat and a danger to society, and that he had been defeated. However, Jesus' display of meekness, patient endurance, and quiet submission showed him as the victor. Jesus is our dearest and greatest friend, who by his sufferings and death made it possible for all our sins to be fully atoned for. By rehearsing all these dreadful details of what Jesus went through, first at the hands of his enemies and then at the hands of his Father, we do so not with a sense of morbid or sadistic delight. Rather, we speak of these things so that we might be reminded of how much Jesus loved us and all the world. So great was his love for us that he willingly submitted himself to all this pain, shame, and suffering so that we might experience peace, joy, and hope in this world, and in the world to come, have a world of everlasting exalted life of glory in heaven. It is with good reason that the Ethiopian rejoiced with great joy and gladness when he learned about Jesus, when all Jesus had done for him for his redemption, as he learned it from the prophet Isaiah. For he learned of a submissive Savior who lovingly and willingly subjected himself to tremendous suffering so that he could be blessed with eternal life of perfect joy and bliss in heaven. May we rejoice anew over our submissive Savior Jesus Christ and sing his praises. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Prayer. Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, though men reviled you and persecuted you, though they accused you of blasphemy and of deceiving the people, though they laughed at your claims of being the anointed Savior and eternal Son of God, nevertheless, we rejoice to know and to trust you as our Lord, who has brought us salvation. There is none other upon whom we can rely. Your words inviting our hearts to faith are indeed words of eternal life. O Son of God, how can our hearts express all the praise we owe you for becoming flesh and blood and dying on the cross for our sins? Prince of Peace, because of the victory you won for us over sin, death, and hell, we now ask you to rule over us with your grace, forgiving all our sins and filling us with every spiritual blessing. And grant that we may be devoted to you in our hearts and lives as you were devoted to the will of your Father. Help us conduct ourselves in a manner always befitting the heirs of everlasting glory. Let us not be cumbered with the affairs of this life, nor fall prey to Satan, nor yield to the desires of our flesh. Grant us willingness to bear our crosses, and if need be, suffer for you as you so willingly suffered your cross for us. And may the salvation that you purchase for sinners at the price of your own blood move us to songs of joy and thanksgiving. Raise us up in our hearts to childlike faith that will compel us to come boldly to your throne of grace to seek mercy and help in every time of need. Be near us to bless us as our individual needs require. To you we make confession of our sins, and of your mercy we ask forgiveness. As our gracious High Priest, plead our cause before your Heavenly Father. All glory to your name, now and forever. And in your name we also join to pray that prayer which you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We continue singing that hymn, O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? Found in the bottom, page 9 in the bulletin. Please stand. We continue with the responsive reading found in the top of page 11. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. Our service concludes with the final hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. morning. We welcome our guests. Glad that you came to join us this morning. Ask if you would please assign your name in the guest book, and we hope you'll join us again in the future. Choir's asked to rehearse after the service today. Next Sunday, there will be a voters' call meeting. Oh, later today at 4:30, you'll see it in the bulletin, the Emmanuel Lutheran College Tour Choir is presenting their final concert in Eau Claire, Wisconsin at Messiah. And this should be broadcasted online, live. And the website can be found in the bulletin to access that concert. Again, the voters will be meeting next Sunday after the service. A big thank you to all those who worked in the parsonage yesterday. It's a long time in coming, but progress is being made slowly but surely. Calendars for the month of April are available in the distribution boxes, also extra calendars on the table in the entryway. And may God in His grace be with you always.